You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Resource Centre, good afternoon. The concept of performance is often muddled up with the practice of training and development, and here to help refine the notion of performance in an organisation is Cliff Chalon from Chalon Performance Consulting. Now, as a performance consultant, what is the work that you essentially do?
Well, that's a good question, Frida. Thank you. Performance consulting is not that significant a departure from the usual training development. It involves training and development in its traditional sense, but as we in the performance technology field like to regard it, it moves beyond the traditional training and development in that it looks at performance from essentially three different points of view: the skills, the knowledge, and the systems that support and sustain a performance over time.
All right. And how would you define performance? Do people usually get it wrong?
Not so much wrong as confused, okay. Or perhaps
misguided.
Misguided and equated with the usual conventional association of performance, which is with human capital performance, which is a performance appraisal, performance review, performance management associated with KPIs and the like. Not that that's a departure. As I said, it's not a significant departure. We still use that terminology. We use that technology, but in a much more precise manner, shall we say.
All right. So are you saying then with KPIs and KRAs that they're not doing a good job in identifying the KPIs and KRAs?
I would say that for many people, it would be wrong to say that they don't get it right. I think they do. Sometimes the metrics may be questionable, but for the most part, let's say that they get KPIs and measures right. It's more a question of how they use those measures to direct their attention to how performance ought to be improved from beyond that point. When I say performance, I make distinctions about performance at various levels. Put simply, performance can be at, in the way I use it, going from a poor performance to a standard performance. I call that going from poor to good. There's also the concept of enhancing performance beyond a certain level, so you're looking to raise the bar, so to speak, which I regard as performance enhancement, going from good
to great.
Following that logic, then, if you did that good to great earlier than your opposition, say 2-3 years, and were to sustain a competitive advantage over a longer period of time, having got into a window of opportunity first, then that I regard as performance advantage.
All right. And many companies invest a lot of money in training their staff, yet find problems in translating that to performance. Now, why is that?
They do invest a lot of money in training, and that's a good thing. on behalf of my training and development brothers and sisters out there, keep that going. That's a good thing. I think sometimes, though, it can be a little misguided, misdirected, the funds, I mean. It can, in fact, sadly, become training for training's sake. So if, as an example, if we have some latest fad or voguish thing, could be anything, let's say, in the old days, quality management, quality techniques,
TQM,
and all these sort of faddish notions. As soon as something becomes packaged, and that's all it is, usually a packaging of something that's existed for a fair bit of time anyway. But let's say that's a fad. All of a sudden, everyone wants to do that. And people in organizations find themselves being shunted off to do training course X. because it's the new thing to do.
Well, with that in mind as well, wouldn't HR practitioners have done a training needs analysis before that, a TNA, to identify, you know, the right training for the staff?
That's a good question. And yes, that is true, and they do that. I guess the difference between a TNA, and I do come from that discipline, my major is in HRD or training and development, so I do understand the TNA concept. Where I found the distinction between that and, say, performance consulting or performance technology consulting is where the level of training needs analysis would be much more finite and a lot more detailed, a lot more precise. To give you an example, a client recently asked, asked if I would come in and offer a second opinion. They'd already got a TNA opinion from somebody regarding a group of people who were engineers who needed to present technical information to non-technical people. This is fine. Unfortunately, though, the non-technical people were not getting the message. And because the action required of the non-technical people was to, in fact, approve a quantum of money, quite large sums of money, for engineering projects, they needed to know the detail. They needed to know how the information came together, what the backgrounds were. So it was put to me that these people need presentation skills to be able to do this. Now, on the surface, that it seems a perfectly logical
step,
doesn't it? It's a logical answer to the question, why aren't these people performing? They don't have presentation skills, so let's go find a presentation skills course. Applying my performance technology hat, I asked them this question: how many people are you talking about here? They said about 100. So I said, if you were to manage or watch these people through their presentations, how many different types of presentations would you notice? And the answer, 100. Not because of the different technical type, but in the way in which they're presented. So that if you're a non-technical person sitting in that audience and listening to, say, a dozen or even up to 50 or so of these presentations, on which you must make certain judgments, and if they're all different, not by technical type, but in the way it was structured, in the system that they followed, where you couldn't quite make sense of where this was going, systematically, we would find that there was a problem there. To cut a long story short, I asked the question, where's the template that they should follow about how to make a presentation which would depict an engineering project to a non-technical group of people such that you get them to approve the project? There is no such template.
All right.
That's the difference.
Okay. I'm speaking to Cliff Chalon from Chalon Performance Consulting, Resource Center, BFM 89.9. We're talking about the difference of refining the notion of performance in organization, understanding difference between training and development. And when we come back, we'll talk about how do we ensure individual training actually develop into better performance for the company. Resource Center, Frida Liu. I'm speaking to Cliff Chalon from Chalon Performance Consulting. We're talking about how to help refine the notion of performance in an organization. And earlier on, we talked about the various training techniques. And obviously, one size does not fit all. So what should companies do to ensure individual training develop into better performance for the company as a whole?
The short answer would be to focus more on the exacting needs. So be more precise about diagnosing the needs. In this regard, I make an assessment from my training and development brethren that assessment is not diagnosis. Diagnosis is much deeper. If I could give you a very quick example, an analogy, if you will. If you were to have, for example, let's say a person is suffering from some pain in their leg. So they might go across to a pharmacy and get some tablets. Come back a couple of days later, taking the tablets, they're not really working. So they get stronger tablets. This would equate to, in the training terms, where if you need, if you're not presenting well, you need presentation skills. And if you haven't done it well enough, you perhaps need a more advanced level of presentation skills, if you get my meaning.
Right.
From a performance angle, we would say, the pain is still there. So what do you do now? You go to a doctor. What does the doctor do? Where is the pain? How long have you had the pain? What are the other symptoms associated with the pain? Where is it emanating from? Where is it transmitting to? Then he says, what we need to do is order an x-ray. You see, that's not prescribing before you actually diagnose. So that, in a way, I hope, kind of simply explains the approach that we would take. So we would go further. The assessment I regard as a sense. If something's not quite happening, as in the case of the presentation example, they're not presenting well, let's not just look at the presentation skills element, but let's look at something deeper, systemic, that could be causing, in addition to the skills gap, the performance deficiency.
All right. So in this case, that's how performance technology would be different from just plain training and development.
That is actually
All right. And what are some of the key drivers in an organization's performance?
The key drivers for performance in the model that I particularly use, Frida, if you'll allow me to pitch for just a moment, I believe it stems from good strategy. If you're delivering a performance of any kind, whether it be for production or for service, it usually stems from your center of purpose for being in business, which then leads to a grander strategy. If that strategy is sound, then your strategy execution should flow from that equally soundly. Doesn't always make that transition, but let's, for the purpose of the example, let's say that happens. From time to time, you would need to make some change. So change management these days is very much something that performance consulting is all about. So from strategy through strategy execution into change. We then also deal with the human capital components of that in light of looking at the leadership and the team or the groups of people involved in delivering that performance, all the while looking at things from a systems point of view as well. So what are the systems and resources that need to be in place to support the skills and knowledge of the human beings who are delivering the performance? So these are the subtle distinction points.
All right. And what are some of the more common performance-related problems that you've encountered in your line of work?
Some of the more common ones, I guess, would be that people, and this is where we do our hardest work to distinguish between what is a skill or training issue, between what is a more systemic or a attitudinal issue. So we, in simple terms, what is a can't do versus a won't do. So quite often we're called in to look at a situation and say, and could be as broad as, can we have a look at our culture, please, just to get a snapshot of what our culture is telling us. Is the culture conducive to delivering the strategy we have proposed for this company? Or it could be more individual than that, where a team, a small team, let's say in sales, is not producing the results that it ought to. So we get called in there to, again, diagnose and prescribe a solution, which may be both training and non-training.
All right. So in this case, as a performance consultant, you'll come in and diagnose the situation. And henceforth, do you provide the training as well, or do you recommend the right training for them?
We have, fortunately, a range of expertise and capabilities we've gathered over the years. So in large part, I can operate successfully in providing solutions for strategy, for change, for leadership, and for team development. But if it's something specific like, for example, advanced selling techniques or negotiation skills, and obviously there's no such thing as one person being able to do it all, we would source for the company or simply suggest to them that this is what the diagnosis is telling us. You need someone to apply that specialist skill. For example, we don't get into technology skills, so anything IT, I just don't touch that.
I was speaking to Cliff Shalon from Shalon Performance Consulting, Resource Center, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station.